This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
One of those individuals is Cheryl Atkison, and she is with us today, and we are so grateful to connect with her, an investigative journalist at Full Measure News. You can find her on Twitter at Cheryl Atkinson and online at CherylAtkinson.com. Welcome to the show, Cheryl. Such a great honor to have you here with us today.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So I was reading through an article on your website that you put together, and it was talking about influences on the way that all of us consume information, and the fact that by the time the information gets to us, there's been a lot of work done to that information to make sure that we consume it in a specific way. You list places like corporations, big tech, media, education, the education system. Talk to me about your job as an investigative journalist and compare it to the way people are consuming that information after it's gone through that process and that machine.
Well, now we are getting, as people know, the version of events that people want us to give, even if it's not true. That's through the shaping of social media, what used to be the news, and so on. And I've written about this in depth in my book, so it's not just conjecture, but you can read more about that in Slanted and the Smear if you like. But let's apply it to the shooting, the racially motivated shooting today, or allegedly racially motivated. A real journalist, playing by the rules that we used to have, would call that an allegedly racially motivated shooting. And instead, they're all, of course, saying this was motivated by hate, although the reporters have no firsthand knowledge. You have to attribute that. And people also know the disparity in how this was reported versus other crimes where, let's say, the tables are turned and perhaps an African-American suspect is responsible for hurting many people who happen to be white. That is almost never reported initially the same way as a racially motivated crime. The speculation isn't there. The photograph is usually withheld. The name is usually withheld for a long time. So I think this is having, you know, my main message now, I hope and think, this type of information shaping is having a backlash because it's so overt now. People recognize it. They don't like it in general. They want to be able to hear the information and make up their own mind. And those who are trying to make it harder typically have a vested interest in getting out one view of the story with the goal in mind of trying to convince people often that they're holding a minority view or that the truth is not the truth. This is what they're trying to convince people of, and they can do that through these methods we've talked about.
You know, you just said a phrase there that I think is kind of key. I want to talk about it. You talked about getting the story out. That's different than getting the truth out. And yeah, I look at the people who are, at least from the media standpoint, who are getting information out as fast as they quickly can, that sometimes, you know, it, all of the instances that we're seeing with this shooter, specifically to the Buffalo, New York shooting, do point towards him being racist. In his manifesto, he says that he is. But it's more important, it seems, to the media to create the narrative that this is a story that is only about racism, because that ends up being what is of value to the people who are putting the story out and who are going to politically benefit, you know, through power, if that is the overarching story that is derived from this. And in the midst of that, that leaves out any other factors that might have gone into this individual's terrible behavior, and it also and stops that part of the story from potentially helping society stop it from happening again. And it also, it seems to me like there's no moment of reflection on the people who have actually, the actual true victims of this crime. We just rush so quickly into narrative.
Well, let me just blow your mind a little, and this conjecture is not based on thin air. This is based on experience and documentation in the past. But it used to be when we had these terrible crimes, whether racially motivated or not, there was usually a lot of talk because there was a consistent pattern among so many where the alleged perpetrators were on some kind of drug for their depression or their disorders, the drugs that have side effects that can be increased violence or suicidal tendencies and so on. And all of a sudden, in the mid-2000s, we quit hearing that after every shooting. And it's not because these suspects are no longer suspects who are mentally ill and taking drugs and that side of sort of thing. I believe the pharmaceutical industry and their interests have had a big role in making sure this is not what we talk about after a shooting in the initial days, through contacts with police and family members and so on, to push that to the background and focusing on hate rather than the mental disorders and other things at play, and perhaps even pharmaceuticals. Well, that pushes us past looking at what could be a real root of a problem in many cases. That's just one example of why narratives are put into place beyond the obvious reasons that you think of.
You know, that's so important to highlight and to talk about, because what that indicates is that this is a complex issue. And it's often boiled down in the way people consume information in this specific story, but in many others as well. It's boiled down so that, oh, you know, this story, that one was about racism, and that story, that one was about sexism or homophobia or whatever the issue is, because they want to attach the tragedy to a cause. And it's actually possible that this story is very much about racism, but it is also about some sort of medication issue or a mental health issue or some sort of, family, the way he was raised issue. I don't know what his background is, but there are a lot of things that go into any one of these individual tragedies. And when it gets put into the hands of the storytellers and they get to make of it what they want, then something like that pharmaceutical tie-in, if it's not investigated, it's never going to get fixed.
Well, you know, in every major city I've been shooting stories in the past few years, they're grappling with a problem of homelessness, mental illness, legal and illegal drug use, and crime. And they all seem to be intertwined in ways no one is addressing holistically. Same with all of this violence. If you haven't noticed, there is a huge mental illness disorder among many young people, not just isolated to young people and drug users, but among that population for sure. But by normalizing their behavior or protecting their behavior or not talking about it in those terms, it keeps us from addressing these issues that could be happening at a societal level, what kind of damage we're doing, what's causing environmentally so much of the mental illness and the problems that we have today. It's easier to just say, oh, someone hated somebody. And I don't think that goes anywhere towards solving a problem, because you can't talk to a kid like that and say, don't hate. Or, you know, put him in a program. I don't even know what you think you could do. I think it's a much tougher issue, and it's a diversion to simply talk about it in the terms we often do.
We're speaking with Cheryl Atkison. You can learn more about her at CherylAtkison.com, as well as her book, Slanted. I want to ask you to talk to me a little bit more about the institutions outside of the media that really do factor into how we consume information. And like I said earlier, a few of them that you list, corporations, big tech, and also the education system. How are all these other institutions working together or independently to make sure that American consumers especially understand the world the way they want it to be understood?
Well, it's that these institutions have been co-opted by the same political and corporate interests that understand how to pull strings there by getting their people employed in the institutions or understanding how to influence them externally, which, again, I've talked about in my books and documented quite well. But let's look at a couple examples you may not think about. In the Johnny Depp trial, the allegation is that his former wife, Amber Heard, defamed him in an op-ed that she wrote. We've learned in the trial that the op-ed was written by the ACLU, the American Civil Liberties Union, and Amber Heard signed it. This is how most op-eds are written today, and I don't think people know it, that people are paid to sign it, that didn't write it. They're approached by groups to sign off on something to get it published. The publications know and understand it, but don't disclose. It doesn't seem to bother them. So that's just one way in which the powerful interests influence you in a way you're not supposed to know that they're working behind the scenes. Another one you may not think of because it's less obvious, the Federal Register is a place that takes public comments on rule changes prior to them going into place. And I interviewed for my book some of the people that are paid to go online. I don't know anyone who's ever published their own just grassroots comment on a rule change by the federal government, but people are paid to go on there and pretend they're ordinary people and make comments for or against a rule that their paid interests want or don't want to have instituted. So that's another way in which behind the scenes strings are being pulled.
Mm. We're speaking with Cheryl Atkison. Her book is Slanted, How the News Media Taught Us to Love Censorship and Hate Journalism. Do you believe that people are starting to wake up to how processed information is right now?
I do, and they may not be thinking two or three layers deep, but it almost doesn't matter. They're starting to think about it. And I believe that's because the information shapers, they overplayed their hand, really starting in 2016 with what they did, both Democrats, Republicans, and the corporate interests that didn't want Donald Trump in office. They did things that were so blatant that even people who don't necessarily support Donald Trump saw the unfairness or the inaccuracy of information. Then fast forward to COVID, and I think that was a big eye-opener for people who previously, of course, supported our public health agencies and thought they would get the truth from them. So I think it's just been so blatant and so in your face that it's turned activists out of people that weren't really activist-minded, but they more see what's happening because it's not even under the cover anymore.
Well, we appreciate what you're doing. And you know, people who are just interested in finding the truth and exposing it is a lost art in this country. And you've committed yourself to it. And our listeners are commenting right now about how much they appreciate what you're doing and how much they enjoy you. And thank you for being on the show with us today. It's a real pleasure.
Well, thank you for having me.
All right, we'll do it again. I appreciate it. Cheryl Atkison, investigative journalist. You can learn more about the show she does each week. It's at Full Measure News. You can find her on Twitter at Full Measure News, but also just at Cheryl Atkison.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.